This is a download from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And my name is Adeline Chung.
And we are joined in the studio by
Mr. Balan Kashmir.
He's with us all the way through until 9 p.m. this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, it is Spotify Friday, so we're giving away Spotify swag. We have a question for you that we'll insert in between the ads and the songs and the ads and the songs and the ads and the songs.
You like that? Okay.
All right,
okay.
Yeah? Right. If you want to get in touch via Twitter, we are at BFM Radio or at BFM TTON. Mm-hmm. Same thing for Facebook and Instagram. You'll see Adeline's pretty face and my pretty face and Balan's pretty face.
No, your lobster face, actually.
Hey, stop. Leave my lobster face alone. Every day she's mocked me about my lobster face. I go away for one weekend, I come back, this is what I get.
Because you're white. Lobster.
Because I'm white.
Oh my God.
Oh, that was really? Bad. I've only just noticed I'm white. So, anyway, Balan.
Yes.
Tell us what, I mean, we know what you do, but tell folks at home what it is that you do and why we should know you.
I'm a rap musician, I'm a writer, I run a music label and a music studio.
Oh, not much then.
No. Do you rap on the go?
Yeah, pretty much. It's something that I grew up doing. Like, you know, I love hip-hop as a culture, and rap became a very sacred thing to me because that was the only thing that kept me at home.
Right.
The rest of my friends had other activities that they could do.
I can understand.
It sounds very cliche when it comes to any rapper, but yeah, I come from a place called Klang.
Right.
It's not a very, very great place to grow up. When you.
Why not?
Yeah, I have like, there's like few parts of the town that you don't want to grow up in. Like, you know, that was the part that sadly my parents had to buy a house and I grew up there and the environment wasn't the best environment for you to grow up. You can go in the evening like normal kids and play football, but there'd be like some elderly guys that's trying to influence you to do something that is not what you're supposed to do at that age.
Right. I mean, how difficult was it though for you to kind of avoid that side of things, you know, and just say, I want to focus on this instead?
My mom was a teacher, so you can understand.
Right.
So every time when I came back home, like the first time I went to a snooker with my friends, I went to play some snooker with my friends. I came back home. I didn't even smoke, but there was cigarette smell all over me. I think I was grounded for a month.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
old were you?
I was 13. I was Form 1. Yeah, my mom grounded me for a month. No tuitions, no going out with your boys after school time, nothing.
Right.
Just because there was cigarette smell on my shirt. So they were quite strict. Like, they were very careful who I was mingling because some of them were my mom's students. So my mom knew, like, oh, you're staying away from this bunch, you're staying away from this bunch.
Right.
And my dad was always busy with work.
Right.
So when he'd come back, my mom would just say, oh, he mingled with this person and I caught him doing this. My dad would be like, he's a boy. Let him grow up.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen tomorrow. But let's see how it comes out. Then I think when I was like 14, one of my friends came back from UK, bought some hip-hop CDs, and life hasn't been the same.
And life hasn't been the same since.
Yeah. And I blame Will Smith for it, though.
You blame Will Smith?
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air spoiled me first. Then was the CDs.
Really?
When did you started like listening to like R&B and hip-hop and all?
Since young, because cousins all went abroad, so they came back and they would be dancing some music that I never understood. And I was a big MJ fan, so Michael Jackson was, it was Michael Jackson or die. You know, it was just that music. Then because Will Smith, watching Will Smith on TV, then you're looking at your cousin brothers that you look up to, they dress pretty much the same, the cap upside down, and so you're like, something must be really cool about this. And I saw all the pretty girls next to them, so I was like, if so like by the time I was 15, I think I was only listening to rap music.
Right. I mean, I remember when I was about 11 or 12, and a friend of mine had he turned up with a cassette tape back then. And it was Ice Cube.
Wow.
It was N.W.A. And growing up in a town which is predominantly white, listening to N.W.A. and Ice Cube, you kind of felt like a proper rebel, you know. And you take it home and you put the tape in, and I play it, and my parents would be like, "How many times has he swore in the last 30 seconds?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "But this is it, Mum. You know, this is where the future is going. This is what's happening with music and how it's changing on one thing or another."
My parents wouldn't understand, actually.
Right.
Yeah, Beastie Boys had a song.
For sure.
And even Will Smith had a song called Parents Just Don't Understand.
They don't.
But, you know, you can't blame them. They're just trying to keep us secured.
Yeah, right.
But it was that same music that they wanted to keep me away from that actually saved my life. Because at the hardest time, hip-hop was the only companionship I had.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to take a short break, folks. We'll be back after these messages. We are in the studio with Balan Kashmir. He's going to be with us all the way through until 9 p.m. You're listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station. Say goodbye, Adeline.
Why?
I just want you to. Just say it.
Goodbye.
All right. She'll be back in a minute.
Studio.
Anyway, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm back. I'm Madeline Chung.
And this is
Mr. Balan Kashmir.
He's with us all the way through until 9 p.m. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're only just tuning in, he is a rapper, solo singer, songwriter. He runs a record label. What else? Other stuff as well. List just goes on forever.
I run a clothing line with a
line as well. Just throw that out there, dude. You know, yeah. I do this, I do that.
Yeah, it's a clothing line.
What's
it's
it
a
called?
It's called MMWW. It's Macha Magic Worldwide.
Uh-huh.
So it was just an idea where, like, when you're a macha, you know, people just look down on you. We wanted to make sure that if you're a macha, you're straight. You know,
right.
We wanted to build that in, that idea in people. Like, okay, if you see somebody actually wearing double M. They must be proper.
Right.
They must be Balan's friends, or they must be Balan's fans.
Right.
It's been working, right? You know.
So you design your own, or how?
Yeah, it's just a few, two friends, and one designer.
Okay.
So I just throw ideas to them, and they come up with it. And sometimes it's very hip hop based. I'll be very honest. It's very hip hop. It's very font based. It's very message based, but it's been working.
Right.
Surprisingly, it's been working. I really thought people would be like, they won't jump on it, but surprisingly, I've been selling out. Like, I did Taipusam a few days ago. I sold out the whole shop. So,
oh wow,
it's actually working.
Well
right,
done,
oh, good
well
stuff,
done.
Good stuff. All right, and so you were talking to us about your influences being Will Smith and Michael Jackson and one thing or another. What kind of stuff are you listening to now? Who are you listening to now?
Like,
I mean, let's talk about local and international stuff you're listening to.
You see,
to.
Like, I'm a huge Malaysian hip hop fan.
Right,
like, I love anything that comes out from this country.
Yeah.
Too Fat, Poetic Ammo, and Teh Tarik Crew are the reason why I'm here.
Right.
Like, these are the people that actually gave me a hand to come up, you know, when they saw my talent when I was very young. And no matter what they put out, I'd be like a fan listening. I'd be queuing up at their release party and buying the CD. And they'd be like, you're on the guest list. I said, no, it's all right. I want to buy the CD.
I want to buy it, yeah.
Yeah. And Malaysia, it'll always be these guys, like Too Fat, TTC, Poetic Ammo, and the members. Like, today Joe Flizzo is my Jay-Z. I don't look at Jay-Z, I look at Joe Flizzo. And whatever that he puts out, I'm a fan.
Right.
You know, I could never go, you can never go wrong with the music that Cartel puts out.
Right.
In this country.
Agreed. Yeah.
And international, there's so many people I'm listening to, but you gotta say, like, hip hop today doesn't sound like hip hop 10 years ago.
Not at all.
Or even 5 years ago.
It's different.
The tempo is different, and the way people are writing is different.
Yeah.
But hands down, I'm still listening to Drake.
Right.
I don't sing. I'm not listening to Drake because of the girls, but I've been listening to Drake from his mixtape. I think he writes really well. You know, it takes a lot of talent to write punchlines like that.
Right.
And making somebody who's even 50 years old understand your punchline.
Mm. So. I mean, you're right in the way that hip-hop is not what it is, you know, a few years ago. I mean, we were just mentioning N.W.A. and whatever. Back then, it was about, you know, people who were having a hard time, and music and that lifestyle was their way out of, you know, the ghettos. It was their way of, like, bonding with friends and whatever. Nowadays, it's people talking about how much they can drink and how many planes they've got and, you know, how many girls they're sleeping with and one thing or another. And so I think a lot of the problem with particularly American mainstream hip-hop is that that message has been diluted.
Yep.
You know, it's become something that for us doesn't feel like a real thing.
No. Okay, how do I put this? Like, I'm a huge fan of Drake. But Drake's new record, everybody sings it. It's
right,
but it's still a pop record. It's not something that he would do on a first go.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, he would do tracks like Back to Back, which is him. You could hear the tempo. You could hear the energy in that. But hip-hop today has been pushed mostly by the industry. It's a billion-dollar industry. So the cars, the branding, the product placement, everything comes along. You know, the whole lifestyle comes with it. And when they find a victim that they can use to make their brand better, they're gonna come up at you.
Well, like, let's just talk, you know, Beats, for example. You know.
Oh my God, I would never. I'm sorry, like, you know, I don't know anybody who's, like, selling it in this country. I'm sorry if you do, but I'm not gonna wear that headphones.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I'm not
gonna
pay that much of money to buy something like that just because I want the logo on the side of my ears when I could buy another headphones. Probably
it can be better.
Probably half the price lower than Beats by Dre.
Correct.
And it sounds 100 times better.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you look at a pair of, you know, the highest end Beats can go for like $450 US, right?
Mm.
You know how much they made for? 14.
Yep.
14 US dollars.
Yes.
You know, something like 75% of what goes into those headphones is stuff to make them feel heavy. You know, and you just think to yourself, please, you know, please, like, do a bit of research.
I know a friend, DJ Biggie. We went to London 2010. Beats by Dre just came on. He's like, I gotta get this. And he just blew like 2,000 ringgit.
Right.
Like, because it was the first week or the second week of release. So you went and got it, came back home, put it on, and he was hearing something. And he looked at me.
But I think that people, when they buy those headphones, it's all about cool. You got about swag, you know. It's all about, you know, like, hey guys, I have these headphones on.
Isn't the world today like that? Like,
it is.
They judge you with what you have and what not what you are. Yeah. It's sad, but you know, that's life, I guess.
When you wear those headphones, they think that you're cool, but you're not.
Right. I think it went through that phase, though, didn't it? I mean, it was like the first people that got them, it was like, wow, they're special. You know, this is something good. And you could see people wearing the big ones and the smaller ones, and there'd be all of this conversation about how they're so good, and it was. People knew they weren't, but they were saying that because they'd spent so much money on them.
Yeah, because they want to get other people to spend their money too.
Correct. Yep. Folks, quick reminder, we have a giveaway this evening, 0162019000. Answer the question that comes up in between the advertisements and whatnot. And if you want to get us, we are on Twitter at BFM Radio and at BFM TTON. Of course, we're still on Instagram. Still there, not going anywhere. Right, music then, in terms of the stuff that you're releasing.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that. I mean... I've seen some of your YouTube videos. There's some great stuff on there. In terms of physical releases, CDs, whatnot.
I dropped a mixtape in 2014. It's called Beats, Rhymes, and Life. I was not making music for a while. You know, I was going through like the whole journey of life. Then I was like, you know what? This is what I want to do.
Right.
And I dropped a whole English mixtape. Mm. It was like 20 songs, and people were like, okay, this guy can rap. You know, this guy is finally putting out work. And some other radio stations picked it up. Songs went number one, started getting shows. And then new label, new company, new friends. And now I'm working on my debut. I'm trying to go for a double disc, but everybody's telling me no, because physical is dead.
Right.
But I come from a background where people are very supportive. I have not even friends, I would say normal fans that know me through Instagram or Facebook or my music. They'll come up to me and like, can I have a CD? And I'll give them a CD. Mm. And like, no, I want 10 pieces.
Right.
And I'm like, why are you buying 10? Oh, one for my car, one for my dad's car, one for my girlfriend, and one for my friend. And I'm like, you're buying all this because they paid you? No, I'm going to take the money off them. But I think I should support a local act and
that's
buy.
Right.
So like, I tend to think like, if there's 20,000 people like you, you're going to make all the rappers or singers in this country a millionaire. So I'm trying to put the debut out by August. The first video should be out.
Are all your songs based on your own experience?
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Like when I wrote the mixtape, everybody has a breakup, but everybody normally blames the girl. Or the girl will normally blame the guy. Mm-hmm. And when I wrote my love records, I was like, yo, the fault's on both of us. You know, it's okay to be wrong as well.
Yeah.
It's okay to be... fragile as well. You know, just because you're a public persona doesn't mean that you're very strong and content. You can crack.
Of course.
You know, people need to understand that. And so when I wrote my material for the mixtape, from then onwards I started making records that I want to be seen as a fragile person. I don't want to be seen as a Superman. Just because rappers have this persona, right? Like, I'm untouchable, and you know, they have that. You know, I don't.
Right.
I just don't enjoy that.
I mean, you got to be true to who you are, right? You
know, yep.
That's the only way that's going to work.
And I'm not going to be this skinny and sound like I'm 50 Cent. I can't. You know, and I can't jump over 10 cars and save an Indian girl like Rajini Khan in a Tamil movie. I can't. So I'm going to be honest about it.
Although you could in your music video, and people might believe it.
I know, right?
That could work.
Yeah, that's why Rajini Khan is where he is today.
Exactly. Yep. Okay, folks, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, of course, it will be news from page two. We're moving on to Smarty Pants very shortly as well. Quick reminder, 0162019000. We are giving away Spotify swag. There's a bag, there's sunglasses, there is a mug that changes color. It's very cool.
Ooh,
and of course,
three month premium pass.
Quick break. You are listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Say bye, Richard.
Bye. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is That Time of Night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline June.
Mr. Balan Kashmir, still with you guys.
He's so polite, you know.
I know, right? For a rapper, dude.
Boy from Klang, so polite. You know, mother's a teacher, that's why. Yeah. Okay, folks, 0162019000. Don't forget, that's the number to remember. We need your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win. Listen out for the question. You know where it is. Right. Mm-hmm. So, whose story are we going first with? Did we already decide that?
Let me go first.
Okay, hold on a second. I need to fade this out. I'm going to do some magic with this. See, a bit of this.
Extra, extra, beat all the time.
What's all the shouting?
What's all that shouting?
What have you got?
Okay, my story is a little bit sad, but not so sad at the same time. Okay, so this guy...
So which is it? Sad or not sad?
Listen out, la.
Okay.
Yo, bising at that. So this guy, he actually saw a car hit a cat. Aww. And it was his cat, apparently. Aww. Yeah, so he put it up on Instagram. He put it up on Twitter. He was commenting. He said, set to say goodbye to my friend Goose, who was involved in a hit and run on Barlow Moor Road earlier. Now, the thing is, okay, can you shut that off?
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's stopping now. Done. See?
Well, then he tweeted again. He said, this is awkward because the cat that he buried is not his cat.
What
because
the?
Because few minutes later, or an hour later, his cat walked in. So the cat that he buried, he thought it was his cat. And then 1 hour later, his cat walked in and was looking for food. He got freaked out.
I would.
Yeah.
You know, you buried your cat and then suddenly it walks in.
Now my question is, how can you not recognize your cat? Number one. Number two, how can you mistaken your cat for someone else's cat? So what he did was he buried the cat, of course, and he actually exhumed the cat and then took it to the vet.
This is blowing my mind. Hold on a minute. Right. So let's just put this story in order. So what he thinks is his cat was hit by a car.
Yes.
He then takes what he thinks is his cat and buries it in the garden.
Correct.
Okay.
And then later on, his cat walks into the house, was looking for food. And then he got shocked. He got freaked out. And then he said, oh my God, that means I've buried someone else's cat.
No. So wait. So what did he do about that then? Right. So he dug the cat up.
Dug the cat out. He brought it to the vet. And... yeah.
That was really sweet of him to do it.
It is very sweet of him to do it. That's why I say it's sad, but not so sad, you know.
You know which part is sad? That he had to take the cat out again.
Agreed.
I know, right?
That part is... Oh.
But how can you not recognize your cat?
I don't know. Have you seen... You've seen some of the street cats around here. They look very similar, right?
Very similar.
Yeah. They're all the ones with, like, no tail or a bent and broken tail or you've... Yeah. Okay, Balan, you've got a story, right?
Yeah, I came across this on Facebook and I actually didn't know the impact of it until somebody actually called me about it. You know when your pets actually go to the wall and they start hitting their head?
Yeah.
Some of us think it's really funny. Some of us think it's like it's a habit. But they're actually trying to tell us humans something because, you know, they can't come and tell you like, hey, listen, I'm in pain.
Right.
They're actually showing you that they're in pain, which normally comes back to a tumor or something got to do with their intestines. Or
so what, they brush against the wall?
They actually don't brush themselves. They actually take their head and start hitting the wall.
Oh.
Or they're just like pressing their head towards the wall to maybe show you the pain or to even do something that will stop the pain for them.
Right.
So when I put this thing on Facebook, I just shared it from a friend. Mm. My own family member actually called me up. I was like, do you know that the pup at home has been doing this and we thought it was a joke. I'm like, yeah, I'm a grown man. I actually thought, you know, all this time when a cat or a dog goes to the wall, is actually making a joke, you know, just playing around and it's funny for us and we start laughing. But it's actually not, it's a serious issue. Mm. He's actually in pain.
Mm.
And then she took it to the vet because like every time he was eating, supposedly every time the dog was eating, he was either vomiting it out or he was purging it out.
Right.
So, and they thought it was normal for a pup to do that. Mm. But it was not, the pup was actually showing the pain.
So now we know then that if they're sat facing a wall or they're bopping their head against the wall, taking it to the vet.
Yes.
Good piece of advice. Mm-hmm. Good to know. Okay, now we've had a dead cat, we've had puppies banging their head against the wall. Let's lift things up a little bit, shall we?
Okay.
It's a story about Superman.
What about?
Not any normal Superman. So there's this guy, this is from the UK. His name is Antonio Cortez.
Sure,
right?
Very well.
So what he decided to do is that he was working for a charity, right? And you know what people are like, you know, when they're doing stuff for charity, they dress up silly or they wear an outfit. He decided this particular day to wear a Superman outfit. And he's taking a break. And as most Englishmen will do, he went into a pub to take a break, you know? So he's having a quick pint in the pub. And he hears some screams coming from outside. So he goes rushing out. Remember, he's dressed like Superman.
Okay.
And sees a woman being mugged.
Okay.
And he just jumped on the mugger and stopped the mugger from taking money from this old woman.
Uh-huh.
And he's rolling around on the floor, you know, dressed as Superman, stopping this robber from running away. Then the police arrived to see Superman rolling around on the floor with a thief. And everybody's laughing about it, and they're like, why the heck are you dressed like Superman today? Well, it's for charity, you know, one thing or another. But there's some great photos of him. I mean, look, I'll show you a picture now. This is the man, you know,
it's great
dressed
okay.
in his Superman outfit. Yeah. You know, he's got the fake abs and the fake, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I mean, this is really, you know, it's a good
like
Samaritan.
In the movies, right?
Exactly. I mean, there was a TV show years ago in the UK called Only Fools and Horses, and it ran for years. And it was about two brothers, right, who couldn't make money, and they would try and make money doing whatever they could. And there was one particular episode where they're on their way to a New Year's party. One of them is dressed as Batman. Mm-hmm. The other one is dressed as Robin. Mm. Their car breaks down, and as soon as they step out of their car, do you know what happens? They come across some guy trying to rob an old woman. So they rescue this old woman. So it's literally like something out of a TV show.
My God.
There you go.
Oh, good story there. Good
art
story.
Imitating life, imitating art. Right, we've got to move on. We have a little bit of a thing that we like to call Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants.
He's cringing.
Yeah, I could see that, right?
He's like, what?
This is the quiz.
What just happened?
This is the quiz. So the idea is we have 30 questions, right?
Wow, okay.
3 minutes to answer as many questions as you can. Mm-hmm. If you don't know the answer, don't sit on it. Say skip. Okay. All right? And we move right along. So, are you ready?
Before we start, can I say something?
Go on.
Ma, this doesn't judge me being smart or anything, okay? Just don't judge me when I come back home. Thanks.
Okay. So your 3 minutes start now. Which actor voiced the character Gru from the animated feature Despicable Me? Was it Steve Carell or Hank Azaria?
Steve?
Correct. Which part of the body stays the same size from birth until death? The head, the hands, or the eyes?
The eyes.
In a standard game of chess, what color always starts first?
Black.
It's the other one.
Oh my God.
What on a regular clock, what is the opposite of 9?
3.
Correct. What is the capital of Indonesia?
Jakarta.
What type of fruit is usually used to make marmalade? Is it kumquats or oranges?
Oranges.
What animal is known as the ship of the desert? A horse or a camel?
Camel.
Audrey Hepburn has won more Oscars than her sister Katharine Hepburn. True or false?
False.
What is the name of the X-Man who has blades that come out of his hands?
Wolverine.
Correct. In sumo wrestling, what is thrown into the ring before the wrestling begins?
Salt.
Which is not a borough in New York City? Bronx, Kaplan, or Staten Island?
Kaplan.
Who has appeared on Playboy magazine cover more than anybody else? Marilyn Monroe or Pamela Anderson?
Pamela Anderson.
What is the name of Sonic the Hedgehog's sidekick? Chip or Tails?
Tails.
Which university was founder of Facebook Mark Zuckerberg in before he left? Yale or Harvard?
Harvard.
How many types of flavors? How many flavors make up a Neapolitan ice cream? 3 or 5?
5.
It's 3. Mm. American businesswoman Bobby Brown is famous for creating what type of product? Shampoos or cosmetics?
Cosmetics.
Maths question. What is the cube root of 125?
Skip.
In what movie did Humphrey Bogart play an owner of a bar who tries to sneak his lover out of the country? The Maltese Falcon or Casablanca?
Casablanca.
What special ability does the fictional character Dumbo have? Super strength or flight?
Skip.
Okay, sure?
Yeah.
All right. Which car maker has the advertising slogan Zoom Zoom, Honda or Mazda?
Mazda.
Where can 75% of all the countries in the world be found? North or south of the equator?
North.
Which colorful comic book hero is the Lone Ranger's grand nephew? The Green Hornet or the Green Lantern?
The Green Lantern.
No. What are the main ingredients in gunpowder? There are 4 ingredients. I'll take 1.
Skip.
All right. Which country sent its navy around the world to fight the Japanese in 1904? America or Russia?
Russia.
The name of which Olympic host city translated means northern capital? Beijing or London?
Beijing.
Which U.S. actor's film company founded the Sundance Film Festival? Robert Redford or Steven Spielberg?
Robert.
I'll give you one final question. Which country has the internet domain .in?
India.
Well done. Okay. We're going to take a very short break, folks. We'll be back to find out how well Balan did after these messages. Please do not go anywhere. You're listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is That Time of Night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Adeline Chung.
Balan Kashmir.
There you go. Right, so just before the break, ladies and gentlemen, we had... oh, it's one of those days. We had a whole bunch of questions unrelated to what it is he does for a living. We're going to find out how well he did in just a couple of minutes, but I'm going to remind you, 016-201-9000 is the number if you want to take part in our giveaway. We need your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win. Mm-hmm. So, let's go through some of the questions he got wrong.
Sorry.
Oh, dear.
So, in a standard game of chess, which color always starts first is white. What color... What is the cube root of 125 is 5.
We all knew that, right?
Of course.
Of course we did. Of course
what
we
special did. Ability does the fictional character Dumbo have? It's flight.
And a big tail, nose, thing.
All right, trunk. Richard, okay. Enough. Which colorful comic book hero is a Lone Ranger's grandnephew? It's the Green Hornet. What is the main ingredient in gunpowder? So there's sulfur, charcoal, potassium, and nitrate.
The gunpowder thing, I'm really going to get it. Like my godbrother, you know, he loves guns. Uh-huh. He actually has a license to carry arms. He guards a lot of... He runs his own security company.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when he hears this program, he'd be like, you just embarrassed me in the whole country,
no.
Balan.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
All right, drum roll, please.
Hold on. Let's have one of these then.
Ladies and gentlemen, Balan Kashmir scored 21 points.
Right, that's not bad. That's
it's
not bad.
A good score. It's
very
a good,
good
score.
Very good, very
it puts
good.
You in the top third of the table that we've got so far. So well done. Thank you very much for coming in.
No problem, guys.
Pleasure
thank
to
you.
Meet you.
Thank you for having me on.
No trouble. So we're going to play out with one of your songs as well. Mm-hmm. But what I want to know is, where can we see you performing live next?
The next show is on February 13. It's for Aniruddh live in Kuala Lumpur. Mm-hmm. Aniruddh, he's like Justin Bieber of India right now.
Uh-huh.
He's selling out arenas all around the world. So he's coming to Malaysia for the second time. The company that I work for and I'm part of is actually bringing him down.
Right.
So we're really, really, really excited for that, you know, because it's going to be in Stadium Negara or Stadium Merdeka. We're looking at it because a lot of kids are coming. And we're worried, like, if it rains, we don't want the kids to be, you know,
right.
Inside, like, stuck in a rave or whatever. So we're thinking of taking it back to Stadium Negara. But we're looking at about 6,000 to 10,000 people.
Ooh. Great, great.
And the best part is all the local boys are opening up.
Right. You know,
it's always fun to have international acts and having the local boys to do their
of
thing.
Of course.
So I'm really, really looking forward to February 13. I know my Valentine's is gone. I don't have one, but I know I'll find somebody at the stadium.
I'm sure.
Aww.
I'm sure.
Bless you.
Right. Yep, yep. Okay. So almost time to wrap up. But as per usual, to close off the show, we have some silly facts. Adeline, what do you have?
Nations that have banned McDonald's include Bermuda, Montenegro, Kazakhstan, and Macedonia.
They've all banned McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. Malaysia should join in.
I agree.
No, why?
Agree.
Oh my God, are you serious? Are you a fan of McDee?
She loves the nuggets, my friend.
McDee's is just right next door. Richard,
yeah, that's why.
You love McDee's as well, please.
I don't know what you're talking about. Their coffee's good. Okay,
there
finally. There is one fact I have for you today. At one point, you know the game Candy Crush?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You had it for a while, didn't you?
No.
Liar.
Yeah, I did.
Right, so do you know how much money they were making in a day at one point? $850,000 per
my
day.
God.
Per day. Yeah, we're in the wrong business.
We are. Clearly we are.
All right, folks. It has been time. It has been
time.
That time of night, of course. My name has been Richard Bradbury.
And I'm Adeline Chung.
My name is Balan Kashmir.
This is Balan Kashmir closing the show up for us. You have been listening to That Time of Night. Say goodnight, folks.
Good night, all.
Good night, guys.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.